Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 123 on Pew Bible page 499. Hear God's word. To you I lift my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens, as the eye of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than its fill of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Then our New Testament lesson comes from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and that's on Pew Bible page 801. Let us hear God's word, and may it bless us this morning. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own plus with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we listen to your word and it leads us and guides us to serve you. As we listen to it, may it move in and through us. May it set our hearts and our minds towards serving you. Guide us, O Lord, through your word. Bless this word and bless us through it. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a quick pop quiz question. No cheating, so put your phones down. No using Google on this one. What is the amount of money, roughly, ballpark it, given to these slaves? It's okay, go within, say, $10,000. Any ideas? good because it really doesn't matter. The amount is a red herring, so to speak. The amount of money. The amount of money is something that theologians chase continuously to try and figure out how much money one talent is. Well, guess what? A talent is not an amount of money. It's a weight. One talent is equal to pounds, kilograms, something, some such. And so it's not comparable to a dollar amount or value. So unless we're talking about depositing 50 pounds of pennies in the bank, which I'm sure the cashiers, the staff at the bank would really love you if you did that, it really doesn't matter how much we chase that number of how much one talent is equal to. But what matters most is that it is valuable. It has great value. It was a measure of gold, silver, nowadays platinum, and all of the stuff that's involved in a catalytic converter. All of those precious metals. But we really run into problems with this parable is that word, talent. Because guess where we get our English word talent from? This parable. And it's hard, even in Mr. Bow and Miss Wittes's English class in junior high and high school, to figure out how to define something with its own word being the definition. So when we read this parable, don't let it sidetrack you. Turn off the noise in the background. Turn off that question about, well, how much money did he give them? Understand that he gave them something of value. He gave them something that was to be used and had value. So as we turn off that wandering down the pathways of what a talent can be, we see that this is a continuation of Jesus' start to Matthew 25, where he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. So this is a story of the kingdom and what it is like and how we are to engage in that kingdom. So the master is, of course, our master. And so the slaves are, well, possibly us or those like us. We don't need to worry too much about where he's going and how long he's gone. We know that it's an unknown amount of time, sort of like the unknown amount of time before Christ returns. See some connections there. We would call that the already and the not yet in theological terms. But as we read this parable, we see our three characters doing something, or not doing something in the case of the one. And our sensitivities make us want to do something with that final slave. We don't like the response. And we do that thing we do with the parables that we over-identify with them, so to speak. Sometimes the parable tells a story, and these aren't people, they're people in a fiction book, so to speak. You don't feel bad about the character, well, maybe you do, when you read a novel. Maybe you feel bad for whoever Dickens wrote about. You feel bad for Ebenezer Scrooge before the conversion. But we have two groups of slaves, two-thirds and one-third. And what happens is they each make a choice. And it is that choice that they make that Jesus wants us to pay attention to. Not the final payout, not what happens, but what they do in this parable. We see the master giving these three slaves something of value. kind of like when God gives us abilities, gifts, all the many things God blesses us with. And then we see two different responses. On the first, we see this positive response. You have given me this of value, and I will use it to produce more of value. In one of my favorite books from my childhood, you have the Archbook series, in which the first slave invests in what must have been a mall. So these came out when I was a kid, so malls still were a thing, brick and mortar. And then you have the other slave who buys a fish market. And guess what? Those pieces and investments don't matter. What matters is that they were given this gift from God, this talent, this ability, this what have you. And their choice was to use it. Kind of a beautiful thing to be able to use what you have for a generalized purpose, but you get to choose what the smaller purpose is. As the kids were listing off their talents, you could hear all of the ways you could possibly use them for God's service. All of the different methodologies you could use. And then we see the blessing come back on the other two. But then we see the one slave or servant who goes home, buries it in the yard, and doesn't do anything with it. Nothing. And I realize we could banter back and forth about how burying it in the yard is technically doing something with it. But it sits. So while his two compatriots are out using what has been given to them, using those abilities, his just sits doing nothing. And so then when the accounting happens, when the master comes, he has this great excuse. I know you're a harsh man. This is not how you start out telling your boss you didn't use what was given to you. I know you're a harsh man, reaping where you do not sow, gathering where you do not scatter seed. Again, this is not exactly saying to your boss, you're a really lovely person, and I appreciate what you gave to me. It literally says to him, you're a horrible person, so I was afraid of you. Yeah, try that, telling your boss that next time. Please don't, please don't. And we see this response, and there is this very negative response. But the negative response is not to that comment. The negative response comes in what wasn't done with the talent. When I was much younger, I was always upset by this because I was always finding a way to wind myself down that road of how much the talent was. And I said, oh, come on. You gave him next to nothing. You gave him one talent and he was supposed to use it again. But there are so many ways you could use it. And the master makes sure to point out that there was even a way to not use it and still use it. These men make a choice to use what has been given or not use. And then we track back to Jesus' initial statement at the start of Matthew 25. The kingdom of heaven is like. Now, again, if we get caught up in the response, if we get caught up in how much money it is and all of that, we lose sight of what matters. What was valuable was given. What was given with the intent of use. It was not given to sit in the ground. It was not given to sit idle. It was given to be used. Now, for the theologian in me, I want maybe the first or the second slave to have risked and failed. Because I find that that is always the hiccup for us, where the parable hurts for us. Because we look at it and we see success and success, gift and use and automatic success. But the problem is we don't always use our gifts and see the success we want. We want. Sometimes the success that is given is not what we want. The reality is what is given is not meant to sit idle. And the act of use is what matters. The act of using what God has given you, what God has blessed you with, what God has handed over to you is what matters. It's not about the success rate. I remember early in ministry, Sarah and I going to lunch with the other Reformed Church minister in town. And as we sat down, we were wide-eyed and talking about all the things that we saw that could be done in the community. And every single statement we made, there was always that, well, we tried that. Well, we tried that. Well, we tried that. Usage automatically was kicked to the curb with failure. Oh, we tried that. Well, guess what? That doesn't mean you stop. It doesn't mean you stop trying to use your abilities for God. Yeah, you failed. Guess what? And maybe this is the stubborn Croatian in me. You get knocked down, you fail, and guess what? You stand up and you keep on failing. You embrace the level of failure if you fail. Because at least you can stand before your Lord and say, you gave me this. And boy, I got every last mile out of those 5 talents you gave me. I got every last ounce out of those talents you gave me. And you know what? Maybe I didn't succeed, but maybe, God, I sure used the heck out of them. That's what matters. Not the success, not burying it in the ground, not hiding it, but using what God has given us. What always happens when this parable is sometimes we feel guilty for what we haven't done. We feel guilty when Christ points out what our gifts and our abilities are to be used for. I haven't done this. Your sermon really spoke to me, or I read that parable and it hurt because I haven't. Well, guess what? Instead of feeling guilty, we should feel recommitted, reinvigorated to change, to work, and harder and harder and harder. Many of us have heard the phrase, the Lord never gives us more than we can handle. Some of you may have also heard the counter to that of, well, I really wish God would stop trusting me so much. But it is just true that God does trust us with much. Sometimes it's one talent. Sometimes it's with many. Sometimes it's with one particular talent for one particular moment. But we won't know what that moment is if it's in the ground and buried and hidden. We are called by our Lord to hold our heads high, to and feel encouraged and engaged by a moment like this, where we commit ourselves through reading Scripture, where we are transformed through it to live and use what God has blessed us with more, to the fullest we can, to the fullest we are able, to use our talents for God's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, let us use what we've got for the purpose it was given. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us respond to God through